Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. One time, Brother Higgins said this. He said, if 40 of us praying together, we pray 10 minutes, actually it's 400 minutes. He times it, 10 minutes times 40 people, 400 minutes. So I've been thinking, how to explain this? How do you explain? He said, if 40 people pray 1 hour, that means actually they pray 40 hours. Then I was thinking, how to explain this? The only way to explain is in the Old Testament, it says, one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. So even though we pray 10 minutes, you multiply by 40, it's 400 minutes of prayer. We just put in 400 minutes of prayer. One will put 1,000 to fly, two will put 10,000. So you multiply by number of people here. Praise God. Amen. All right, this morning we're going to take Holy Communion. Let's take out the bread. This morning I woke up very aware of this verse. Nothing is impossible with God. All things is possible to those who believe. Then I begin to think of, why don't we just believe that God can stop the war? The war will stop now. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Let's pray over the bread. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this bread. We eat in remembrance of Jesus' body, broken for our transgressions, sin, and took our infirmity for our sickness and disease. By his wounds, we were healed. Thank you, Father, for the body of Jesus that hung on the cross for us. In Jesus' name, let's break the bread and eat. Let's open up the cup. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup. We drink in remembrance of Jesus' blood shed on the cross that speaks of his death. He paid the wages of sin with his death. He died spiritually. He went to hell on our behalf. He was separated from you, that spiritual death. And the wages of sin is death. So he paid the price of death that we don't have to pay. And this cup also speaks of the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross that speaks of life. You raised him from the dead to life, that we may have eternal life, and also reminds us of the blood continue to cleanse us. 1 John 1, 7 says, the blood continues to cleanse us. This cup reminds us of the blood of Jesus, a sign of his continuous protection over us, and continues to cleanse us, purge every power of sin, and also to cover us in Jesus' precious holy name. It also reminds us that Jesus is coming back again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Let's drink from the cup. Amen. Praise God. All right, let's read this scripture before we pray over the tithes and offering. Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. So faithful in tithes and offering is more than a financial transaction. It is an act of profound worship and honoring God. It signifies our commitment to a covenant partnership with him and walk in the spiritual authority he has bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We honor you with our tithes, worship you with our tithes. Thank you, Father, acknowledging all we have is all your blessings, is your blessings. We thank you, Father, that the offerings that we bring are seed that we sow and shall be multiplied back to us. Thank you, Father, your word is always true, never returns void, and you shall accomplish what your word has stated in the name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen. Today, we're going to talk about the name of Jesus. Amen. The name of Jesus embodies divine power, authority in the name, and the very presence of God, his name. So more than a religious phrase, the name of Jesus is a declaration of authority, and it is a legal, spiritual proclamation that carries the full weight of heaven behind it. So to understand the believer's authority, you must understand what his name represents. So what's in the name? A name represents a person. The name of Jesus represents the Lord Jesus. So today we're going to study in the name of Jesus relating to believers' authority to renew, refresh our faith in the name. So in scripture, a name represents the full identity of a person. A person, the person's character, his standing, and his power. When somebody acted in the name of a king, they acted with the king's full authority behind them. The name carried the weight of a person who bore it. So, the name of Jesus represents his character, who he is, holy, faithful, true in every word and action. In every word, everything Jesus said is true. There's no lie in it. It represents his authority. The legal right, authority is the legal right to act and speak on behalf of that one name, that's him. When we have his name, we have the legal right. We have the authority to speak, to act on his behalf. When you give me the authority to sell your property, I can act on your behalf. I can sell it on your behalf. the price, you tell me to sell it. If you didn't state the price, so I decide what price to sell. So that's authority. And it represents his reputation, his track record of power and faithfulness known throughout heaven and earth. And it represents his position. He's seated at the right hand of the Father above all rule and power. So likewise, when believers act in the name of Jesus, they're acting as his authorized representative on earth. Jesus is not on earth. We are his representative on earth. When we don't use his authority, Jesus cannot act on our behalf because he's not here. So it's very important that we have to use his name. Again, especially demonic spirits, demonic powers and spiritual forces. His authority stands behind his name. Amen. He has authority over the earth because he was born as a son of man. The reason why he's born as a son of man is so that he can regain dominion over the earth that Adam and Eve lost. But he is not here to exercise his authority, exercise dominion over the earth. He's in heaven, so he delegated his authority to us. So the name is above every name. Philippians 2 verse 9 to 11, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. So above every power, every sickness and disease, every demonic force, every human authority, every power of darkness, every fear and torment. Amen. His authority, his name is above. And at his name, devils tremble and flee. Must tremble, must flee. Darkness cannot remain. Captives are set free. Chains are broken. The power is not in the believer. The power is in the name. And there's power in his name. Amen. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Amen. And Jesus delegated his authority to us. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Praise God. And many times, you know, especially if you use the fear behind it, there are spiritual forces, demonic spirits that come against you. So he delegated his authority to us. On earth, actually, he did that when he was still on earth to his disciples. But after he rose again, he delegated his authority to us, and we have to use it. And because we have his authority, we have the legal right. So Jesus gave believers the legal right to use his name in prayer, pray in unknown tongues. Even though we didn't say in Jesus' name, we speak in tongues. But we are speaking in tongues in his name, in ministry and spiritual conflict. Heaven recognizes and honors this right. So we have to use his name on earth because of spiritual conflict in the realm of the spirit. And because he has given us his name, his authority, we are his ambassadors. So we have the role of the ambassador. When a believer speaks in faith using the name of Jesus, they are acting as official ambassador of Christ, representing the kingdom of God on earth. And heaven recognizes his name when we use his name. When the name of Jesus is spoken in faith, heaven itself takes notice and moves on behalf of the believer who carries that delegated authority. That's why Jesus said, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose allow on earth, it shall be allowed in heaven. Amen. So we have to execute it on earth first before it's effected in the second heaven. So after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, deliberately and purposefully, he delegated it to his followers. That means to us. This is not borrowed power. It is legally given authority and delegated power that's recognized in both heaven and hell. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Authority over demons. Throughout the gospel, evil spirits responded immediately when confronted by Jesus. Today, believers carry the same delegated authority, the charismatic errors. Sometimes they spend 3 hours to try to go and deliver somebody from demon possession, demon oppression. 3 hours, that means they don't have faith in the name. You have faith in the name, you command the demons must leave straight away. Amen. Praise God. So consider also the promise of John 14, verse 13 to 14. Let's read the first one. Mark 16, verse 17, in my name, they will cast out demons. Jesus said, in my name, in my name, in my name, in my name. Sometimes, you know, all those deliverance meetings, they get into error because the devil get them to be focused on him, on the devil. They'll try to cough it out. You know, those deliverance meetings, especially in those days, the charismatic, everybody go to the deliverance meetings. Everyone brings a plastic bag. You bring a plastic bag. So when they cast out demons, they want you to cough it out. Cough and vomit. No, Jesus said, in my name, you shall cast it out. In his name, he will leave. You don't have to cough it out. You don't have to spit it out. You don't have to roll on the floor to get it out. Amen? In his name. In his name. In his name. In his name. In my name, demons will be cast out. We must obey. Every time you sense demonic spirit, you must use the name. And once you use the name, you must have faith in the name. Faith in what Jesus said. In my name, you will cast it out. He didn't say he will cast it out. You will cast it out. So Jesus gave his followers direct, unambiguous authority over demonic powers. The believers do not confront evil spirits in his own strength, personality, or spiritual maturity. He confronts them in the authority of Jesus' name. So a kid who is born again, if he or she uses the name, demon still has to obey him or her, the kid. Praise God. That's the problem with the charismatic. They're very, you know, into the spirit, move with the spirit. They're not grounded in the word again. There are all kinds of errors. It was so bad that some years that every Sunday the pastor would cast out demons. He said, oh, even he himself, there's a demon inside him. So every Sunday he'll cast out demons. Everyone will be cast out demons first before I preach the word to you. You are the temple of God. Holy Spirit dwells in you. No demon is going to live in your spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit is inside you. He's not going to share the house with demons. And the power of God, power of the Holy Spirit, He is God, is living in your spirit. How can any demon enter your spirit? Authority over demons. John 14, verse 13. Whatsoever you ask, this word ask is demand. He didn't say ask the Father. He said whatsoever you demand in my name, I will do it. Amen. One time the Lord Jesus explained to Brother Higgins, the word do means if it's not there, I will create it. Amen. He will create it for you. Before I went to Bible school, I changed jobs. The Lord told me, you go and work there. And the audit manager told me, hey, it's dead end, this job for you. He said, you cannot go. No, you cannot go anywhere. It's dead end. Audit manager was a Christian. But the Lord created a position for me. Not in the company. Then things began to change. Then they bought over another company. Then I went over the other side to set up a department and I hate it myself. Praise God. So He can create things for you. He can create it. Amen. My name. You ask or you demand anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. In John 14, verse 13 to 14, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll do it. A legal claim on what is rightfully ours. It's not what the Father who withholds, it is the enemy who yields when the name of Jesus is used in faith. Sometimes the devil is holding back, holding it. Amen. So what God can do is you demand it, He has to release it. But sometimes when there's no opportunity, He can create it. Amen. Things He can create it for you. Amen. Authority in prayer. John 16 verse 23, most assuredly I say to you, whatsoever you ask the Father. Early on the scripture didn't say ask the Father. He said, whatsoever you ask or demand in my name. But here is, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Amen. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Amen. Ask. This is prayer. Prayer is directed to God the Father. He said, whatsoever you ask in my name. Jesus said, I'm giving you the authority to ask in my name. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give it to you because of Him. Because of the name of Jesus represents the person, represents Jesus Himself. So the Father answers your prayer not because of who we are, but because of Jesus when we ask in His name. He answers our prayer because of Jesus. Amen. So every time when we ask in prayer, will He give it to us? Yes. Unless we are asking against the will of God. If not, we always receive. So on the basis of His authority, you approach on the basis of everything Christ has accomplished. What has He accomplished? He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I keep thinking of one thing. I keep thinking of, recently I told Jasmine, I said, man, your daughter got a good job, a good company. Because the mother has been praying. She's not a Christian yet, but she asked the mother to pray. Praise the Lord. Amen. And not only that. You know, I was in the prayer group last Friday night. So three of us began to compare notes. And some of them know how we started. Then I realized the three of us, the place that we are staying now, God spoke to us. Some of them was a couple of years back. One day, Lu Ping said, I'm going to have a landed property here. Eden, God spoke to him way before, you know. He said, you're going to live in Orchard Road. Many years back, when we were still in this church, every year the church will buy lunch for the Faith Kid teachers to celebrate Teachers' Day. Last time, Oasis Restaurant, you know where it is? It is where the National Stadium is now. Oasis Restaurant was there. They planned to have a lunch there, you know, Oasis, the restaurant for the teachers. And when we were sitting there, the Lord spoke to her. Say, you're going to own that place where we are staying now. Put in her heart, one day we'll own that place there where we are staying now. Amen. So then the prayer group we went to, three families. The place we are staying there is not because we desire, we have the money, we buy. No, God spoke long before. In other words, it was God's idea. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when he speaks, after that, you know, we pray, ask him to direct us, you know, where to buy, what to buy. Of course, he directs us. After that, we still pray, oh God, you know, amen. And where Karen is staying on here, same thing. One day in prayer, she just prayed out, clear water. She go and view other places. She didn't bring her checkbook. When she went and viewed this, she brought her checkbook and she put a deposit. God spoke. When you pray in the name of Jesus, amen, he will guide us. So in agreement with his will. So where we are staying is God's will. Praying in Jesus' name means aligning your prayer with the purpose, search, and the will of Christ. We pray because we ask him. We ask him, Lord, you know, direct us where to buy and all that. And sometimes before you came to the time to buy, he already spoken to us a couple of years back. Amen. So in the worthiness of Christ, you are not approaching God on the basis of your own worthiness. You are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. That's why the believers can pray boldly in Jesus' name. Amen. Every time we pray, we want to know what is God's will. We listen to our spirit. So Jesus taught his disciples to pray specifically in his name, not as a closing ritual. Every time you pray, just end your prayer in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name, pray. No. When we invoke his name in closing our prayer, we are invoking the authority we have in his name. But it's the very foundation of their access to the Father. He gave us the authority to access the Father. So, for example, by Jesus' wounds, you were healed. This is one thing Christ has accomplished. We approach the Father on the basis of this authority, the authority that he has accomplished. So Jesus gave us this authority to receive our healings. He became poor that we be made rich. Amen. So we have this authority to be rich so we can use his name to command the devil to release all the financial needs and command angels to go and bring it in for us. That's authority in prayer. Authority to pray in supplication prayer, pray the prayer of faith, pray in unknown tongues. Authority in healing. Acts chapter 3 verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong or whole. The lame man at the beautiful gate, the temple, was healed through the faith in the authority of the name of Jesus. The believer ministered to this person. The believer ministered healing by faith in the authority of Jesus' name. He gave us the authority in his name to lay hands on the sick. So the name of Jesus is also powerfully connected with healing. Throughout the book of Acts, remarkable miracles occur through his name, through faith in his name. The name of Jesus cannot be willed like a spell by those who have no relationship with him. The book of Acts provides a sobering warning in the account of the seven sons of Sceva, Jewish exorcists, who attempted to use the name of Jesus without any covenant relationship or delegated authority. They were not born again, right? So they used the name to cast out demons, and the demon jumped upon him. So in Acts, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? Amen. The demons replied. So without relationship with God the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus is not a tool available to anyone who speaks it. It operates within covenant. And then within covenant, you also must have faith in the name. You cannot just use the name, you know, I don't know whether you work or not. The relationship of a born-again believer with Christ. Without faith, dead works can carry no authority. The name must be spoken in living faith, not mechanical repetition or empty religious habit. And with submission to Christ, the name of Jesus works where there's faith, relationship, and genuine submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This is the foundation. Amen. carrying the name with honor. Because believers carry the name of Jesus, they are to call to represent Him well in every dimension of life. The authority of His name is not a private spiritual tool. It is public witness to the world of who Jesus is. Carrying the name with honor. Amen. In Colossians 3 verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Amen. Do all, everything, do all in the name. Amen. If you cannot do in the name, you better don't do it. You cannot steal, you cannot lie. You know. So in our speech, our words should reflect the one whose name we bear truthfully. Truthful, grace-filled, and life-giving rather than careless or corrupt. So in our conduct, we must live publicly, privately. It's a testimony to the name we carry. Our behavior either honors or dishonors the name. Our prayer life, authority of His name should never be treated casually. It should be approached with reverence, faith, confidence, and willing obedience in the prayer life. Amen. So the believer's foundation of authority. One of the most liberating truths in Scripture is this. The believer's authority is not rooted in how they feel on any given day. It does not depend on your personality, your spiritual maturity, or your natural boldness. It is rooted entirely in the authority of Jesus' name. And that never changes. Amen. Not your feelings. Authority does not rise and fall with your emotional state. You may feel weak. His name remains strong. Not your personality. You do not need to be naturally bold or charismatic. His name is bold on your behalf. Not your maturity. Even the newest believers can use the full authority of the name of Jesus through faith. Amen. And His name alone, His authority never changes, never weakens, never expires. This is unshakable foundation of the believer's confidence every time you use the name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So the believer who truly understands the power of the name of Jesus will not live a timid, defensive, or defeated Christian life. Understanding the name transforms how you speak, how you pray, how you minister, how you face the enemy. You may feel uncertain, but His authority never changes. So speak boldly, pray boldly, resist boldly. The name you carry is the highest authority in heaven and on earth. Amen. So you have to live without timidity. Know the name. Understand who Jesus is and His authority. Then walk in His name. Speak, pray, and minister with confidence. Then you trust the name. Step out in faith, not feelings or abilities. Amen. You trust His name. Amen. His protection is in the name. Your safety is in the name. Nobody can do you any harm because of the name. So it's a privilege we carry. Amen. Jesus has entrusted His name to His church. What an incredible privilege. Amen. Thank you, Father. You have been authorized to pray, minister, heal, resist, and proclaim all in the name, above every name. So you're authorized to pray in His name. So you approach the Father boldly on the basis of Christ's worthiness because you have the righteousness of God in you. You're made righteous. You're made holy. You have His holiness. You have His righteousness. You approach Him based on not your righteousness, His righteousness. Amen. And you have His name. When you use His name, when you pray in His name, He answers your prayer because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, the person. Amen. Praise the Lord. We minister in His name. Serve others and bring healings and hope as His representative. And we resist the devil in His name. Stand firm against every work of darkness with holy authority. Then we proclaim the gospel in His name. Declare the good news to the world with confidence and with power. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to pray. So, you're authorized by His name. The name of Jesus is heaven's highest authority, delegated to the believers, not earned, not deserved, but freely given to all who are in Christ Jesus and walk by faith. So, you must know it. Know it. Understand the full weight of what the name of Jesus represents. His character, His authority, His victory. Amen. His character, that means when you invoke His name, according to what He has accomplished, He must fulfill. And he has given you the authority to pray, to use against demons and evil spirits. Demons and evil spirits must obey. And the spirit of fear must run away. Fear is a spirit. For I'm not giving the spirit of timidity and fear. Amen. So if you constantly use of fear, you open up to the spirit of fear. If you use to the spirit of fear, many times your thinking process all governed by fear, not by faith. Governed by fear, you fear. Then you mix fear with the knowledge, the natural knowledge you acquire. Then you make a decision, and that's not sound. You use it. You use His name. Use it in prayer, ministry, in spiritual conflict, with faith, reverence, and bold confidence. Especially dealing with demons and evil spirits. Spirit of fear. Amen. You use it. You must believe that in His name, they must succumb to His name. Submit to His name. And you honor it. Live in the manner worthy of your name, of the name you carry. Represent Christ well in every area of your life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So take this with you. His name is your authority. You're not alone. You're not powerless. You're not without recourse. You have been given a name that is above every name. And with it, the full authority of heaven to pray, to minister, to resist, and to proclaim. Philippians 2, verse 9 to 10. He has given us a name that which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So go in the authority of His name, speak it with faith, use it with reverence, live worthy of it. Amen. Praise God. Early on, I shared with you about, with three of us compare notes. When Lu Ping said, one day I'm going to own a place here. That's releasing her authority. God's will is giving you authority, and the authority has to be released on earth. Has to be spoken on earth. You speak your authority. He has given you the authority because authority to speak was rightfully yours. He has blessed you. He has blessed you in the realm of the heavenly. He has blessed you with a place here long before you move into that place. And Eden, both of them said the same thing, different times. They just spoke it. We're going to have a place somewhere here. So it's important that you sense what God is putting in your heart. You speak it. You are releasing your authority and to claim what is rightfully what God has blessed you in the realm of the Spirit, including a lot of natural things. He has blessed you because He has ordained for you, has planned it for you, and He has put it in your spirit. Sometimes you just pass by, you just say, oh, it's not your carnal self. No, it was the Spirit of God that put it in your heart. Don't be religious. Oh, no, I don't want to be, but I don't want to be materialistic. You have none now. What do you think He created material things on this earth for who? For the devil and all his evil people. God created the heavens and the earth, the silver and the gold, all for all the evil people. I don't know whether they knew it or not. They just spoke anyway. Maybe out of, don't know, desire. How green is it? You keep smiling, so I no, don't know why. You just spoke it right. You know why you don't know? Faith. It's faith. Amen. Next thing is very important is that after you speak it, don't go and cancel it off with all your negative talking. No la, no la, no la, no la, this la, all kinds of evil stuff you talk, come out of your mouth, you just nullify what you have spoken in faith. Amen. So that's why I said, not only in prayer, sometimes you just send, you have something in your spirit, speak it out. Then after, don't try to be religious, no la, don't try to be humble. That's not humility, that's not humility. Humility is submitting to what God says. He said, I'll make you a multimillionaire, then I'll be a multimillionaire. No la, I don't want this, don't want that. And you think that's humility? That's pride. That's religious pride. Heavenly Father want to bless you, you don't want. It's pride, what? God Most High want to bless you, you don't want. It's pride, la. What else? Religious pride, la. So speak. In prayer, we pick something out. Same thing. Speak. Just like this morning it was. Very aware of this verse. Nothing is impossible with God. All things is possible to those who believe. And my mind is on the wall. And yeah, it was on the wall. Praise the Lord. So I use it. I say, then it has to stop now. Not going to stop. It has to stop now. Amen. So sometimes you speak all kinds of stuff that's negative. You think you've been humble. You've just been in religious pride. If the Heavenly Father created the heaven and earth, He said already in Ephesians, I bless you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So what's the problem with having what He wants to get across to you? It may take you a couple of years to come to that point whereby He hand it to you. Every time you come against what He has for you, you're going against. You're not submitting to God, that's all. He wants to give something to you, oh, you don't want, you're just not submitting to Him. Submitting to God is whatever He says. I want you to have this, yes, Lord, I'll have it. I don't want you to have this, yes, Lord, I don't want to have this. I want you to go there, yes, Lord, I'll go there. I want you to do this, yes, Lord, I'll do that. I want you to become a billionaire. I don't want to be a billionaire, shut up. Just ask the Lord, you know. And He knows you don't want it. They ask Him where you want to channel it to, correct? Amen? Praise God. So speak. Whatever God puts in your heart, you speak. You wake up in the morning, you have something in your heart. It can be a scripture, you got something. Speak. Praise God. God is good. Amen. You know, where we are staying here, I think I mentioned this before. When many years back, when Rena, Yiching, and her two brothers, when they were the kids, you know, we were used to visit them and brought them to walk along. And they would say, Uncle Kwong, why don't you buy this place? They say, no lah, cannot afford lah. That's not out of doubt and unbelief. That's out of the natural. But the Lord can still, you know, bring me to a point, you know, where He still bless me. I still have to believe God. You know. He can bring me to a point whereby, by faith. How He brought me to a point? Sell my HDB, bought a 30-year-old rundown, a freehold walk-up apartment, 4 stories. Every time I bring up the grocery, I got to carry it up. When we travel, got to carry heavy luggage, 4 stories. Bring it to the point, you know, then when you unblock, then. But you have to follow the leading. I follow the leading, then we bought this place. Even though many years, I said it earlier on, no way, Kwong cannot afford to buy this place. But I didn't say that out loud when I'm unbelieving, just naturally, you know. So it's still okay. Amen. Praise God. But the important thing is whatever the Lord put in your heart, speak it. You don't want to speak it, say it to anybody else, just say it. Go shut yourself in the toilet there and just say it. Amen. Praise God. When you say it, you are releasing your authority. You are using authority to release God's will on earth for yourself. Praise God. If you don't know God's will, then today after service, go and pray. Pray and pray concerning God's will for your life. Amen. Praise the Lord.